Let's open our Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse, I think we'll read verse 14 through 18. 14 through 18 in John chapter 3, and I'm going to read from the King James. You will read along in whatever version you have. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, these last few lessons, I had it in my heart to just share about living a long life, also a precursor, I guess you would, of living a long life is knowing what your rights and privileges are and walking in them, and knowing that according to the scriptures, we have been given dominion and authority here in this earth over, as the scripture says, over all demons and over all manner of sickness and over all manner of disease. And we rejoice over that and rejoiced on Sunday. Now, one thing I'd like to touch base on, and I want to go back this evening and pick up just a few other accounts, and I want to kind of tie that thought in a little bit from this past Sunday on dominion and authority. But this evening, I'd like to just touch on how to maintain your healing, how to maintain that. And, of course, we have that in the scripture. Some of it you probably already know. So don't sit there and go, "Well, I know that." Well, that's good. I'm glad you do. Now, you can add a little more of the Word of God to it. And how many know even the things that we do know, God will enlighten us a little more, unfold the Word of God to us a little more, so it becomes solid in us. It becomes immovable. And I want to become to the place, I want to get to the place where I'm like that person who dug down deep and built his house on a foundation that couldn't be moved. And the only way that we're going to do that is continually feeding upon the Word of God, continually feeding on it and exercising on it day in and day out and day in and day out. And even when we feel like, "Well, you know, I heard that already." Even if that thought comes to me, I just go, click, I'm gonna listen. I'm going to play. I'm going to just listen, even if I force myself to listen, because I'm going to be obedient to listen to the Word of God, because we know faith comes by hearing. It doesn't say faith only comes when I want to hear it. No, faith comes when you hear it. And God may know, well, you're sitting there going, "I don't want to hear this again. I've heard this 50 times. I already know this." But if you just stay open and listen in those settings, God will unfold and reveal something to you. Even in that setting. Even in the "I don't want to." You know, sometimes you'll sit there and you'll be the first one to be hiking up off the seat, and I'll go, "What happened to them? What happened to them? I see it. I see it. I see it. I see it." I remember... How many remember Pastor John Lipscomb? Dear brother, going on to be with Jesus. He when he came into the Word of Faith, he was an Assembly of God minister, very friendly with Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton. When they first got exposed, they went to Hawaii when Brother Hagin was holding meetings. Pastor John went, Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton just dove right in, feet first. And Pastor John was because he had come out of those settings where they were dinging and beating up and speaking negatively of the Word of Faith, he had to go back into those settings, and he was kind of wrestling with that, you see. And so I remember him saying this. He said to me one time, he said, he was at a national convention out in, I believe he said, for the Assemblies of God out in Springfield, Missouri, which is where they would hold their national conventions. And they were up making negative comments about the Word of Faith. And he's listening. And all of a sudden, this gentleman made a statement, and God unfolded something he said and revealed it to Pastor John. And he went, oh, I see it. 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 And he came back. He could not be a part of that denomination anymore because he saw it. He saw the error, and God revealed it. And so sometimes in our settings, if we just stay open and listen, God will unfold and reveal something that we're thinking either right or wrong and expand it. And that's exciting to me. That is really exciting. So one of the things that I wanted to do this evening is touch a little bit on that subject of how to maintain your healing. Now, not so much why you lost it, but it'll answer your question. Let's go back from Sunday just to kind of tie this together. Let's go over to what we did Sunday. Let's go over to Matthew just to look at these few scriptures to kind of tie it together here. You may not have been here, so if you did, we just get to look at it again. It'll be all good. Matthew chapter 10, and looking at verse 1. And it said, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he, Jesus, gave them, the disciples, power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to do what? Heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then, of course, he goes on to list who those 12 disciples were. But let's go over to Mark. I believe it was Mark 9, I think. Is Mark 9? Or Luke 9, I'm sorry. Yeah, Luke 9, not Mark. Luke 9 and chapter 1. Luke 9 and a chapter, I'm sorry, chapter. Verse 1. Luke 9 and verse 1. And this is the same account, and he said, and then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power. And when you look at that, that word power is the same word for authority. It says he gave them power and authority over all demons or all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So you can see here, who did he send out? He sent out his disciples. And then, of course, we looked in Matthew 28 and Mark 16, where before Jesus left, the last thing he said was, go into all the world, preach the gospel. Those that believe, or those that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. It doesn't say these signs will follow those who doubt. It doesn't say these signs will follow those who question the word of God. It says those who believe, these signs are going to follow. And the first one is, in my name they shall cast out devils. And then it says what? And they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And I took the time to read an account in a book that Brother Hagin had, wrote, called I Believe in Visions. And in that, the Lord appeared to him in that vision, and the purpose of that, he said, is I'm going to teach you, if you go back further, which I didn't, the reason Jesus appeared to him, he said, I'm going to teach you about demons and devils. And that was the reason Jesus appeared to him. And he began to share some things about demons and devils and began to share with him that there are four levels of demonic activity. He said there's principalities, there's powers, there's rulers of the darkness of this world, and there's spiritual wickedness in high places. He said those are the four levels of demonic activity. So, and this is Jesus teaching him. And he said the worst of all of them, those four levels, is spiritual darkness. And he said, over all the world. So he said, that's the worst, because he said that spiritual darkness has control over all those who are unsaved, or spiritual wickedness. He said that controls everyone that is unsaved. So in the middle of this open vision, he said this imp-like creature jumped in the middle of him and Jesus and threw up this kind of smoke screen and was just making a lot of noise. As he describes it, yakety yak 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 yak, and he's making noise. And he said, Jesus, why don't you do something about that? And he's wondering, why isn't Jesus doing something? Why isn't he stopping him? I can hear Jesus, but I can't understand anything he's saying. I'm missing things he's saying. And Jesus didn't stop. He continued to teach. He continued to share. And he's like, after a minute of this, he's like, I've had enough of this. And he said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to stop. And he said, that imp just hit the ground like a whipped pup. That's the way he described it. Just whimpering. And all of that interruption ceased. And he said that, you know, he continued to wonder why he didn't stop him. And he said, well, the Lord knew his thoughts. And the Lord began to answer him. He said, if you hadn't have done something, I couldn't. And so, Brother Hagin said, Lord, I know you said you couldn't, but you probably really meant you wouldn't. He said, no, I couldn't if you hadn't have done something. He said, because I've given you authority and dominion in this earth. And so that, he began to take that, and you know, that was the beginning of that teaching. But and I'm going to pick up in, because he further begins to, he's in the spirit, and this whole vision happened when he was on the field. He was ministering at a church, and he was talking about being in the spirit, And he said, when I was in the kitchen, we were sitting around with this pastor, just having something to nibble on. And he said, I had this, he said the little girl was 11 years old, and he said it was her father's, who was the pastor. It was his custom to go say prayers before he put his daughter into bed. And so she said, well, Daddy, can you pray with me now? And so forth. So they all hit the floor to pray. And he said, before my knees hit the floor, I'm in the spirit. And he said, I didn't even know, I didn't know what, he said, my sense of where I was suspended. And he said, that's when Jesus appeared to me. And he said, I've come to teach you about demons and devils. And in that whole thing, and he said that as they were there, that vision, he said, when he came out of it, it was an hour and a half that he taught him on demons and devils. So one of the others I'm going to share, which I think will help tie in a little bit. It has something to do with something else as far as demons and devils, but you'll see the relationship and the association with it concerning how we maintain something that we've received. In other words, we've received a healing. How are we going to maintain that? And you'll see from that example how we'll do that and how we'll maintain that. Let's go back. Let's look at these scriptures again. Ephesians 4. Verse 27, Ephesians 4, verse 27. And the Lord reminded me during worship, during this lesson, to just share an experience again that I had. He reminded me, said, I want you to share that experience again concerning something that I was healed of or delivered of, walk through, and just remind you of that also. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. Well, think about that. What does that mean? Neither give place. That means don't side up. That means don't entertain. That means don't listen to. That means neither give place to something. And so when the devil comes with thoughts, you wouldn't do it. If you were set on a certain moral path in your life and you had certain convictions, would you give place? If you had a set moral compass in your life, you say, I don't give place to that. I don't do that anymore. I don't drink anymore. I don't smoke dope anymore. I don't carouse. I don't fornicate. I don't do that. So what? I don't give place to it. Isn't that correct? So it's the same thing here. The scripture says, neither give place to the devil. So we're not to give place to the devil. Now, he is the source of all things that do what? Kill and steal and to destroy. So if it's something that kills and steals and to destroy, and it's meant to destroy, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do? Don't give place to it. What does that mean? You stand against it. You say, no, no. I'm not receiving. I don't take that. I'm not giving place to that. I'm not letting that in my house. I'm not letting that in my job. I'm not letting that in this country of the United States. I'm not giving place to it. Isn't that right? Yeah. Neither give place. Well, does that mean a little bit? No. That mean if he says neither give place, it didn't say just give a little bit. Neither give place means there's a line, you don't cross that line, that's it. Period. And that means you don't have to be ugly, but if people want to come and start stuff, what do you do? Here's a line. We're not going across this line. This is it. You've got to set the boundaries. You've got to set this is it. You're not going past this. We're going to love you. I love you, but we're not going past this. That's it. That's the way it is. Neither give place. Neither give place to strife. Neither give place to walking in unbelief or unforgiveness. We're not giving place to that. See, even when you want to. See, you know what I mean? Even when I want to hit you. Even when I want to act ugly. No, I'm not giving place to that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not crossing that line. And you're not crossing the line. See? So that just means we're not giving place. And that's set right there, right? And I like what the Amplified says. The Amplified says, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. See? So we're not to allow or give a foothold for him to come in. How do you do that? You let somebody get a foothold when you give place. Isn't that right? You give place, you just let them get a foothold in. And one of the things that Brother Hagin shares, and I'll share that in his book, he asked about, in this example, where he shows, in this open vision, the Lord shows him a woman who was married to a minister, and she entertained a demon spirit. But she didn't the first three times. The first three times, she knew it was a demon. And she rebuked it. She said, you leave me, get out of here. I know who you are, leave in Jesus' name. And it left. Second time, came back, did the same thing. She said, in Jesus' name, you leave. And it left. Third time, it came back. She said, in Jesus' name, you leave. And it did. Fourth time it came, she entertained the thoughts. And at the beginning of the whole thing, and I'll read it, but at the beginning of it, Jesus said, she was my child. I went, ooh. And he goes on to relay how she said, I don't want Jesus anymore. I don't want you anymore. And he said, and he showed a picture of her in hell. And he said, there's a difference between a three-year-old saying, I don't want you. And we have scripture for that, because those that have received the heavenly gift and have tasted of the powers to come, and have tasted of that, and she did, and entertained something and then turned her back, there's a big difference. Because he said, there's no place for forgiveness anymore. That's it. So it's important that when we get thoughts that say, you can't have that, you're not healed, you're going to die, you're sick, you're going to have to live with this the rest of your life. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to die. What are you going to do? He has come to kill and to steal and to destroy. And when those thoughts come, what are you supposed to do? Don't give place. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a foothold. How do you give him a foothold? I don't know, Lord. Maybe it isn't your will here. Bang. You just open the door. And the more you meditate on it, the more you think on it, the more, as I shared in shared Sunday, what does the devil thrive in? He thrives in an atmosphere of fear and worry and strife and hate. But when there's fear and worry, he thrives in that environment. So at all costs, you need to chase fear and worry out of your environment. You need to chase it out and command it to go. Because if you don't, you allow them to hang around. And we have been given dominion and authority from the head of the church over all demons and all sickness and all disease. And if you don't chase him away, he can't. The Lord won't, because he's given you all dominion and all power and authority. It goes for all of us, every single one of us. We are not exempt from that. But isn't that wonderful that you have the full arsenal? You got the name of Jesus. He has to respond to the name of Jesus. He has to. So we have nothing to fear. We have nothing to worry. You know, when he comes around, ooh, what are you going to do? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to use the name of Jesus, and you're going to get your hips out of here. You're going to leave in the name of Jesus. You don't have to shout. You can say something in faith and say, go in the name of Jesus now. And he has to go. And if he's persistent, you just be as persistent, because it says here, leave no such room or foothold for the devil. James 4:7, let's flip over there. Let's remind ourselves again. James 4:7. Submit, you know this, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he might flee from you. No, it says he will flee from you. So anybody who tells you, well, I used the name of Jesus and he didn't go. Did we read that account Sunday when Brother Hagin said he was in a church, and I won't read it, but he was in a church ministering, and this man came up. He had tuberculosis, I think he said, of the spine, something like that. It was a tuberculosis of the spine. His whole spine was basically just stiff as a board. And he said the Lord had just appeared to him months prior to this, where he appeared to him in Rockwall, Texas, put the finger of his hand in the palms of his hand and said, I've given you a special anointing. When you lay hands on the sick, he said, if you feel fire jump from one hand to the next, if you put your hand on the front of a person and you put it on the back, he said, and if you feel fire jump from one hand to the next, he said, you know there's demon activity involved here. So he said when this man came up to be ministered to, he did that. He put his hands on the front and the back, and he felt fire go between his hands. So he said, I knew there was demon activity. So what he did was, he said, I command you in the name of Jesus to leave this man. And he said he did that three or four times. He said he commanded this guy. He said, but the first time he said to him, he said, now see if you can bend over, see if you can do something, see if you're healed. And he said he realized at that point, well, he didn't realize at that point, but he says after the fact that he used the word if. And so this went on a few times, and then he said, he just, the man went back to his seat. Another person came up to be ministered to, a woman, and he said, he's standing there waiting for this woman to come up. And he said, right to his left of the pulpit, Jesus appeared. And he was close. He said, I could reach out and touch him. And he said to the Lord, he said, now, Lord, he said, I commanded these demons to go. And he said, they didn't go. And Jesus said to him, I said that when you speak to those demons in my name, they will go. And Brother Hagin said, "Yes, Lord, I know that. You told me," he said, "but I used your name and they didn't go." So this went back and forth three times. And so he said the last time, he said, "Weekly I shared with the Lord, 'Lord, I know you said that, but when I spoke, they didn't go.'" And he said, fire and lightning came out of his eyes and said, "Yes, but I said they'll go." And he left. And Brother Hagin said, "Ooh, I see that I missed it. I was in doubt." And he said, at that point, he saw where he had missed it. He called this man back up to the front. And he said, now he's raring to go. There's no if about it. He commanded that spirit. "I said, leave this man in the name of Jesus." And he said, "Now bend over." And he said, that man went, bent over. And he said he had been healed and his back was instantly restored. But his point was that when we use the name of Jesus, just like it says in John 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm going to do it. So if we ask anything in the name of Jesus, he will do it. And of course, for us to doubt and to question whether or not the Lord will respond to the name of Jesus is calling him a liar. So when the devil wants to come, you give him no place. When he's trying to cause you to question and doubt what you've believed God for, what God has started in your body to heal and restore, or you believe that you've received something in your body, you take that, and if doubt and unbelief comes, you command that thought, that imp, that devil, that demon, that thought to leave in the name of Jesus and command it to go. And so, one of the things that I wanted to look at this evening, and let's turn over to 1 Thessalonians. I want to look at 5 references to something. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verse 16. It says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings." What does verse 21 say? "Prove all things." What's the next thing? "Hold fast that which is good." Say, "Hold fast." "Hold fast that which is good." We are to do what? Hold fast. Don't give place. Hold fast to that which is good. Don't give up. Hold fast. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Just flip over a few pages. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look at verse 13. Actually, let's read verse 12. It says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know," I like this, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." What's the next words? Hold fast. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. When you read this, let me read this in the Good News. It says, hold firmly to the true words that I taught you as the example for you to follow, and remain in the faith and love that are ours in union with Christ Jesus. We talked about being in the vine. So we're to hold fast to true words. The Amplified says, hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching. Would healing be that? Anybody there?
Yes.
Is healing part of wholesome, true words and sound teaching? And what are we supposed to do? Hold fast to it. We're to take it and hold fast to that. Not give place to thoughts that contradict it. So when words come, you know, sometimes, and I'll say this, Pastor Greg and I, I'll speak for myself. I'm getting to the place where if you want to come and talk stuff, there's a line right here. We're not talking about that. We're not going to discuss that. We're not going to talk about that other person. We're not going to discuss something that does not hold to sound teaching and true words. So sometimes in the past, we might be quick to get involved in a discussion or a conversation that's not edifying. And we want to talk about something or entertain something. We're to do what? Hold fast. Neither give place. Set the boundary. This is it. I've received my healing. Period. That's it. And the power of God and the word of God is at work in me. No. You can't operate in my body. Cancer, you can't operate in this body. Diabetes, you can't operate in this body. Lung disease, bronchitis, you can't operate in me. I'm redeemed from it. Himself took my cancer. Himself took my diabetes. Himself took this liver disease. Himself took this kidney disease. Himself took it. So I'm not giving place to it. How do I not give place to it? I hold fast to my profession of faith. Because if you don't, then you can run the risk of giving place. We all can. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. And this doesn't have to be just healing. This could be your finances. Could be something God's promised you. You hold fast to that. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us do what? Hold fast. The good news, I like this. It says, let us then hold firmly. What does that mean? Like a bulldog. It means like a pit bull. You hold firmly. You grip it and you're not letting it go. I'm neither giving place to the devil. I've submitted myself unto God, and I do what? Resist him. And I've hold fast to what? This says here, let us then hold firmly to the faith. Do we do what? We profess. For we have a great high priest who has gone into the very presence of God, Jesus, the Son of God. the God's Word translation, we need to hold on to our declaration of faith. I like that. We need to hold on to or hold firmly to our declaration of faith. Not change. Not deviate. You're in a year, things don't look any better. I'm holding firmly to my declaration of faith. Not to the left or the right. Things don't look any better. But I'm holding firmly to my declaration of faith. And I share that because this thought just came up. That was my mind. When I say mindset, that was my heart and my mind. I held firmly to my declaration of faith that I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm whole. And when my stomach was not changing after a year of pain, I mean blinding pain, you couldn't think. I had to just work through it, get up here and sing with the choir. Anybody know what it's like to push with air against your stomach and have pain? It was interesting. But I held fast and firm to my declaration of faith, never changing, never saying, well, I don't know. I held fast. And then the Lord said, see, this is what you got to do. You need to hold fast, and it's the Lord's responsibility to tell you to do something different, go a different direction, but you hold fast to your declaration of faith. And he said to me, if you don't go to the doctor and have your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. And I would not change my declaration of faith because as far as I was concerned, the Word of God was the power of God was working in me and changing me. But I learned something through that because I would not change my declaration of faith in it all. I was like, as Pastor Greg said, a bulldog with a pan. I don't care if it was blinding pain. I stood there and said, no, I said I'm healed. I'm delivered. It wasn't fun and it didn't feel good, but I held steady. And it was the Holy Ghost who said, no, you need to go to the doctor and get this checked. Now, I learned something because it was a question that I had. See, one of the things that, for me, I'd heard, well, you can pray over anything you eat and God will bless it. Okay. Well, let's see about that. Anything? Anything. So that means I could get a bottle of whiskey and pray over it and just chug it down and God will bless it. Really? See, that's how stupid it is. And we need to ask God what to eat. I wasn't doing that. And I was running and running and running, not getting enough rest, not eating right. And so through that, I got some nutritional advice and correction. But I also, during that time, see, this doesn't go over big news with folks because they like to eat what they want. But I'm going to tell you from experience, because Brother Copeland at his minister's meeting began to share with the ministers there. So did Dr. Sutton before he went home to be with the Lord. So did some of the other ministers said, y'all need to work on your diet and y'all need to work on what you're eating. Because it's not good. But if you get F.F. Bosworth, in his book on Christ the Healer, he has 20-some reasons why people don't get healed. And as I was reading that book after I went through this process, number 5... I mean, I shouted, I hollered, I said, there it is, there it is, there it is, there it is, there's the answer right there. There's the answer. Number 5 in his book, and if you'll get it and read it, number five in 21 reasons why people don't receive their healing, number five is violating the laws of nature. There it is. So you can eat what you want, but you're going to, it's seed time and harvest. You're going to reap what you sow. Period, end of subject. Don't get mad at me. If you're going to get mad at someone, get mad at God. But I learned through that experience that I had violated natural laws and I was trying to apply another law of God's word, and it wasn't working. Because I was saying, I believe I'm healed, and then eating goofy food. You understand? That doesn't even make sense. It wasn't working. But it was real interesting. The minute I changed my diet, within weeks, my body started to restore. Isn't that interesting? After a year of working the word in one way, misapplication, not that God's word doesn't work. Oh no, it works. Because right after that, and this is what the Lord wanted me to share, in 2008, when we started our nightly Bible classes, see, I've worked the word many times and got supernatural results. So that's why when I stood a year, I knew the word would work. I know it works. You can't beat it out of me. I know it works. I know it works. And so when the results didn't come, the Holy Ghost had to get involved and say, you know, if you don't go to the doctor, you're not going to see the end of this year. He didn't say, you're being a fool. I know you think you know the word, but you're doing something dumb over here. But in 2008, I was sitting back up there in that sound booth area, and a pressure hit the back of my head right here. I was doing everything I knew to do. I had made all the adjustments, doing everything I'm supposed to do. And this pressure hit the back of my head. And I'm telling you, I walked out, and the first thing, no fear. See, that was the other thing. I walked through this for 3 days. 3 days. There was absolutely no impulse to pick up the phone, to tell anybody, to go, oh my God, what's happening? What am I going to do? No. The first thing that came up out of my mouth was, in the name of Jesus, I command this to cease in Jesus' name. And I began to quote the word and say it and say it and say it and say it. I held on the wall walking down that hallway down there. And my whole system was all goofy. I mean, really goofy. And I said, this is an attack. We just started the Bible class. That was Wednesday. I was scheduled to teach. I got up. I'm holding the pulpit in the back there. And that Bible class back there. I'm holding the pulpit, just holding it and teaching. I said, there ain't no way you're going to stop me from teaching. Uh-uh. No way. And so for 3 days, I let nothing but that come out of my mouth. The word of God come out and out and out all night long. Out and out. And on the third day, it was like nothing ever happened. My body just boop, changed. So yeah, if I had given in, if I had yielded, if I had done something other than what I know, if I had entertained a thought, it would have gone a different way. I know it would have. But instantly it changed. See, so we can disrupt or we can take what's ours or give up what's ours by what we say. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So if you give place to something, you're going to reap the results of that. So it's important that when we are confronted with something, to either let go of something that we've believed we've received, you hold fast. You don't let go. You grip it and hold on. Unless God tells you to go a different direction. Hebrews 10:23. Familiar scripture. What does it say? Let us hold fast. What are we to do? Hold fast. The what? The profession of our faith without what? Without wavering. And you know in James it says anybody who wavers is like a person who's wishy-washy. And what does it say? That person won't receive anything of the Lord, does it? Isn't that what it says? Somebody who wavers won't receive. So this says we're to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. I like this. The New Living Translation says, without wavering, let us hold tightly to the hope we say we have. You say, I believe. Good. Hold tightly. Don't let go. The New International Version says, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Don't swerve. And the Amplified says, let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish and confess and our acknowledgement of it. So we're to do what? Seize, hold fast, and retain without wavering. You want one more? Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 2. See, 2 would have been enough. I've given you 4. Here's one more. Revelation chapter 2. This is John on the Isle of Patmos. And Jesus appeared to him. And look in verse 2. Chapter 2. And he's sharing with John what to tell the churches. Now look at verse 25. Or look at verse 24. It says, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. Now look at verse 25. But that which you have already, what? Hold fast. Till when? Till I come. So we're to hold fast that which you already have till he comes. So we're to hold fast. And one of the things that we're to do, and of course, this is the importance of the constant feeding upon God's word. Let it play in your home. Keep the word of God playing. I try my very best in the morning, even with one eye open and one closed, or both eyes open or both closed, I'm going to go and grab me something and turn it on and let the word of God play in the house. Whether it's a teaching tape, whether it's something, whether it's the scripture being read, Alexander Scorby, something, I'm going to have something playing to feed my spirit. Because we're so, I love this scripture in Matthew 7. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does what? Doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So we're not going to be removed from storms coming. They're going to come. But what you build your house upon is going to depend upon how you fare in the storm. And for me, we are not to give place to the devil. We're to hold fast the form of sound doctrine and don't give him place. Don't entertain thoughts that come. Don't entertain thoughts, you know, it's not getting any better. You better go to the doctor. You better have an operation. You better do this. You better only do what the Spirit of God directs you to do. And you better be led by the Spirit of God and Him only. If He tells you to go have an operation, then go do it. If He tells you to go to the doctor, go do it. But if it's going out of fear, you need to wait upon the Lord. Get His direction. And during that time, feed upon the Word of God and give fear no place. When it says, give, you know, neither give Him any place, that means fear. That means worry. That means anxiety. You give Him no place. Give it no place. Let me read this account. I don't know, or maybe read part of it. I don't want to sit here and read the whole thing, but I'm going to highlight some of it. And again, I shared with you, this is his account, and the Lord was teaching about demons and devils to Brother Hagen. And the Lord said, "This woman was a child of mine. She was in the ministry with her husband. She was filled with the Spirit, and the gifts of the Spirit were operating in her life. One day, an evil spirit came to her and whispered in her ear, 'You are a beautiful woman. You could have had fame, popularity, and wealth, but you've been cheated in life by following this Christian walk.'" That's what happened. The woman realized that this was an evil spirit, and she said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." The spirit left her for a period. By and by, the same evil spirit returned. He sat on her shoulder, whispered in her ear, "You are a beautiful woman, but you've been robbed by taking this lowly walk in Christianity and living a separated life." Again, she recognized this as Satan and said, "Satan, I resist you in the name of Jesus." And he left her for a while. But he came back again and sat on her shoulder, whispering the same things in her ear. This time she began to entertain these thoughts, for she liked to think she was beautiful. As she began to think along the lines the devil suggested to her, she became obsessed with that thinking. She gave him place. Neither give place to the devil. "Then in the vision, I saw this woman become as transparent as glass, and I saw a black dot in her mind. The dot represents the fact that she is obsessed in her thinking with this evil spirit. The Lord said, at first she was oppressed on the outside, but as she allowed the devil's suggestion to take hold of her thoughts, her mind became obsessed. She wanted to think, 'I am a beautiful woman. I could have wealth and popularity, but I have been robbed in life.' She took the bait. Still, it wasn't too late." This is what the Lord said. "She could have resisted. She could have refused to think those thoughts. Then the evil spirit would have fled from her, and she would have remained free, but she chose otherwise." This is in this vision that the Lord has showed him. "Finally, she left her husband and went out into the world seeking the fame and wealth which the devil offered. She took up..." Come on. Got to get used to this here. Excuse me. I'll get back to this place here. Wants to operate a certain way here. Okay. Let me put it on a steady surface. Maybe that's what I need here. Just hold steady here with me. Okay. Yeah. Okay, and then it says she took up after a man. She went after another man. And after a time, that thing got down in her spirit. In the vision, I saw the black dot move from her head to her heart. Then the woman said, I don't want the Lord anymore. Just leave me alone. I said, Lord, why are you showing this to me? Do you want me to pray for this woman? Do you want me to cast the devil out of her? This is what the Lord said. No. I don't want you to pray and cast the devil out of her, the Lord said, because you couldn't anyways. She wants the evil spirit, and as long as she wants it, she can have it. Then why did you show this to me, Lord? I have shown this to you for two reasons. First, so you could see how an evil spirit... Okay. We're going to read this in Jesus' name. I've shown you this for two reasons. First, so you could see how an evil spirit will get a hold of a person, even a child of God, if they will let him. Interesting. You're going to hear this story. I have shown this to you for two reasons. First, so that you could see how an evil spirit will get a hold of a person, even a child of God, if they will let him. Second, I want you to deal with the evil spirit that is operating, now listen to this, that is operating through that woman and harassing and intimidating the ministry of her former husband. Interesting. How do I do that? I asked. The minister was in the same state I was in, but the woman was in another state. There is no difference in the realm of the spirit, the Lord said. Simply speak to that spirit and command him in my name, saying, you foul spirit that is operating in the life of this woman, calling her name, that is harassing and embarrassing the ministry of the servant of the Lord, calling her husband's name, I command you to desist in your operations and stop your maneuvers this moment. In the spirit, I said those words, and immediately that spirit ceased to operate through her to intimidate that minister. From that day forward, the minister never again was troubled by her or that spirit. So that spirit was operating through her to harass him. See, sometimes we need to keep that in mind, that if you're going through life and everything is hunky-dory and then all of a sudden something comes like this, it can be meant to harass you. Don't deal with the individual. Deal with the one that's motivating the individual. Take authority over that. So, this is what how he concludes the story. Lord, what will happen to her, I ask? This is what he said. She will spend eternity in the regions of the damned, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, he answered. And in the vision, I saw her go down into the pit of hell. I heard awful screams. This woman was your child, Lord. She was filled with your spirit and had part in the ministry. Yet, you said not to pray for her. I cannot understand this. This is what Brother Hagin said. The Lord reminded me of the following scripture. If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not undead unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. And he goes on. And of course in Hebrews, it also says in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6, for it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. What is tasted of the heavenly gift? When you receive Jesus as your Savior, you've received and tasted of the heavenly gift. So that's the first piece. And then receiving partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, meaning you're operating in the gifts of the Spirit. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves the Son of God afresh, and to put him to open shame. So there's no place for repentance. And this woman could have said no. Go away from me. Leave me in the name of Jesus. Now, I shared that story because every one of us get opportunities to take the bait. Every single one of us get an opportunity to take bait from the devil, whether it's strife, whether it's getting involved in something that you shouldn't be, whether it's anger, whether it's worry, whether it's fear, it's all the same. It's bait for you to be stolen from. And what are you doing? You're giving place to the devil. And what are you supposed to do? Don't give place. Hold fast to sound doctrine. And what happens is that when we give place, see, God can't do anything. He's bound by his word. We've been given dominion and authority over him. He's been stripped. You've been given all dominion and all power over all demons in the name of Jesus and by his word. So we have dominion. We have authority. It's like having a police badge and not using it. Letting the robber come in your house and steal and plunder. And you go, man, where are the police? Where's the help? Come on. Where's the cavalry? And they go, you got the gun. You got the badge. When are you going to do something? So we have to step up. We have to not give place. And so one of the things is that when you've received healing in your body and you know it, one of the things that if, I'll say it this way, that's why I really am so thankful for the Word of Faith teaching. And Brother Hagin spent so many years, as others did, Brother Copeland, Brother Price, Pastor Apostle Price, and Creflo Dollar, all of them, Jerry Seville, every single one that teach, and those are the ones you know, and all the thousands that you don't know, teach the Word of God so that we don't give place to the devil, so that we know what our rights and privileges are in Christ, so that we know, because when you receive healing through the faith of someone else, and I say it that way, somebody lays hands upon you and you receive a healing. Let's say we're in a mass meeting and supernaturally people are healed. You heard it through Brother Hagin's ministry where he would have the gifts of the Spirit operate, people were healed. And he'd say within a short distance of time, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, sometimes a few months, people had come back with the same symptoms. And he began to see through that the importance of teaching the Word of God so that you take a hold of something by your faith. You take it, you receive it. And he said that usually when that happens, when you receive something through your faith in the Word and in God, usually it takes. It takes. And you don't lose something that may have been done through someone's ministry gift or a supernatural healing. And Brother Hagin learned this through years of being out in the field ministry, and others have, where the gifts of the Spirit would operate and they didn't have the foundation of teaching, which is really what we just read in Matthew, that if you what does it say? If you hear my sayings and do them. But a lot in that period, and I'm not saying that we are in this setting, but I can tell you, we are not the average church. We are well taught and being well taught. Anybody, lately I haven't been, but for about a month, but just sitting with Pastor Sarah for a few years, listening to the callers call in, please pray for me. Pray for me. I need a healing. Pray for me. So the Christian that's out there that is not taught, there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people who think, will you just pray for me? Help me. I need a healing. That's where people are. And so that's not to say God won't work through you to help a person. But a lot of times, they will open the door. An individual who receives healing in that manner, in that way, will entertain thoughts. If a pain comes back, and they'll say, oh boy, I thought God healed me. And they'll say, well, maybe he didn't. And then you open the door through doubt. You entertain and give place to the infirmity that was delivered from your body. So we need to be in a place where we are absolutely solid, and not just solid in our own personal life, but the people that we interact with, that we can bring the good news of the gospel and lay hands upon the sick, and they shall recover, but also share with them, once they've been healed and delivered, how to maintain that, how to hold on to it. You know, some folks may struggle in certain areas, whatever that is. I don't care whether it's physical or mental. It could be mental oppression somebody's dealing with. It all is coming from your adversary. And you need to stand up and say, no, I'm not tolerating you anymore. I'm not listening to you anymore. Go. Leave me. You have no place here in me anymore. And once a person gets to that place where you know that you absolutely are convinced of your rights in Christ, you won't tolerate it. You won't give place to it. You won't even entertain it. You just say, get out of here. Leave in Jesus' name. This is mine. I have a right to it, and I'm going to have it. Whether that's money or health, I have a right to that money. I have a right to the prosperity that Jesus paid for me to have. I wish above all things that I would do what? Prosper and be in health. So that's mine. And I'm going to take that and claim it, and I'm going to do what? Hold fast to that which has been promised me. Does that ring a note for you? Hold fast. Hold fast to that which you're already standing on and have claimed. Hold fast. Don't give place to thoughts of doubt and unbelief. Don't give thoughts to place to worry. Maybe it's not going to happen for me. You know, just maybe, I don't know, maybe God didn't intend for me to go here or have that or do this. You need to hold fast. If God told you something and promised you something and you've claimed it and it's yours, that's why I'm rejoicing. That's why when the Lord spoke through different individuals about this ministry, 1985, 1990, he's given us road signs. What are you doing in this small place? We've got a 3,000-seat arena here. What are you doing in this small place? I don't know. Seems pretty adequate. He said, it's too small. The people I'm sending are going to be greater than what you can handle here. Okay. So then when he starts to put in your heart to start calling in a mall, seems silly. Seems ludicrous. Seems crazy. Only to the natural mind. Only to the natural person. But I believe God, just the same way, I'm holding fast. I'm not deviating to the right or the left because he said so. And you'll do the same thing. Hold fast, don't give up, don't give in, and don't give place. Neither give place to the devil. You're all too quiet in here. The devil has run roughshod on the church too long. And as I said before, he's trying to tear this country apart at its very seams. And the church is sitting on its backside, just letting him run roughshod in this country. In this United States, in God we trust. We don't trust in the government. We trust in God, our Master, our Savior. And he's trying to tear it apart, and we need to stand up and say no. And I'm convinced with the church would rise up in unity and say no, you'd see a change in this country. You'd see it. But we're entertaining ungodly stuff. We're entertaining, we're participating in some of the stuff. And so we need to stand up and say no in this country and let God have his way in this country. First of all, in us. And just begin to say, you know what? I'm not going to entertain that. I'm not giving place to that anymore. We're not doing that. Praise God. Amen. God is good. How many are holding fast? How many are going to give place to the devil? I just wanted to see how many of you were sleeping. You know, some people just raise their hand up. Just raise it up. I don't know what he said. I'm just going to raise it up. So I just wanted to see how many were paying attention. I said, how many are going to give place to the devil? Well, at least everybody was awake. That was a good sign. Let's say this. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I forbid sickness and disease from my body. Every disease, every germ, every virus that touches my body dies instantly. Every tissue and every organ of my body functions in the perfection that God created it to function in. And I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I forbid sickness and infirmity and cancer and diabetes and health problems in my body. I forbid it. I command it to go in Jesus' name. You need to, you know, when the devil tries to come a knocking, you need to use the name of Jesus and stir up your heart. Stir it up. Remind him. What did Jesus do when he came knocking? What did he do? He said, "It is written, get thee behind me, Satan." Is that resisting? It sure is. He resisted. And his children need to. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father. We've heard your word. We're not going to entertain sickness and disease, thoughts of fear, thoughts of worry. We come against it in the name of Jesus. We resist it. We cast it down and we command it to leave in Jesus' name. There's no fear or worry welcome in this facility. There's no fear or worry or strife welcome here. And we command it to leave. We command spirit of infirmity, the spirit of death, the spirit of cancer, I address you in the name of Jesus. Leave this place in Jesus' name. Health and peace resides here in Jesus' name. And Father, we're so grateful for the power of your word. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.